Okay, we're now on to agenda paper eight. Wade, this is your first time, so y'all have to be nice on this issue. But on the next issue, which will now be his, then be his second time, you don't have to be nice anymore. Okay, we're on to agenda paper eight on joint arrangements.
Okay, no, thank you. So we'll now discuss agenda paper eight, and this was a request that we received to clarify whether a previously held interest in a joint operation has to be remeasured. And in the fact pattern submitted, the entity previously participated in but did not have joint control in the joint operation. The joint operation met the definition of a business, and the entity did have direct rights to the assets and obligations for the liabilities. So that was how they accounted for it. So they did JO accounting, basically. And the submitter identified two diverse views on. So the entity that participated in now acquired an additional interest in the joint operation. And the agreement was amended in such a way that they actually became a joint operator. And the question is whether the previously held interest should be remeasured or not in this instance. And the submitter noted that there are diverse views as to whether it's remeasured or not. And those views are described in paragraphs 11 to 15 of our staff paper. To see how widespread this issue was and whether there were diversity in practice, we conducted our outreach. We reached out to National Standards Federation, regulators, oil and gas industry, and the accounting networks as well. And we had mixed views from the outreach, with the National Standards Federation, regulators, and the oil and gas industry all noting that the issue was not very common and they had very limited practical experience with it. But the responses from the accounting networks indicated that the issue was fairly common in practice and they actually had some practical experience with it as well. So on that basis, we've concluded that the issue could be widespread and probably should be addressed by the committee. So we went and did our analysis on this issue. The analysis is laid out in paragraph 31 to 52. And we first thought about what the appropriate accounting should be, whether it should be remeasured or not. And when we thought about it, we looked at the transaction that has happened. And in substance, the entity continues to have direct rights to the assets and obligations for the liabilities. So we noted that nothing has really changed in substance. And they do have joint control now of a little bit more direction. They can provide a little bit more control over those assets. But there's really no change in the method of accounting there. So we did not, in our view, we did not think it was a significant economic event that warrants a remeasurement of the previously held interest, and that's where we concluded. We also looked at this transaction as being similar to one that was described in IS 28, where an investment in an associate becomes an investment in a joint venture, or vice versa. And the board noted in that case that because there's no change to the group boundaries or to the method of accounting, the previously held interest should not be remeasured in that case. So we viewed this transaction as being analogous to that as well. But we do agree with the submitter that when you look at the wordings in IFRS 11, the way they're drafted currently, they could provide some technical basis for people to conclude that you could remeasure or you should remeasure in those instances. And therefore, if the committee decides to take this onto this agenda, we recommend a minor annual improvement to clarify this. But at the same time, we also would like to ask the committee whether they think the scope of the project should probably be broadened or not, because also through the outreach, some respondents identified some other transactions involving previously held interest, such as when an entity goes from joint control to control, or when an entity loses control but retains joint control. And the respondents suggested that we should probably address those scenarios at the same time. So we have some questions for the committee, which are laid out on page 18. And maybe it would be best to start with the first three questions to see, one, whether you agree with our analysis that it should not be remeasured. Second, do you agree with us that the issue is widespread? And thirdly, do you think the scope of the project should be broadened to include some other transaction?
Okay. First question. No remeasurement. Comments? Bruce?
So yeah, I don't agree with the conclusion on that. I'll tell you why. Sorry, first comment you get disagrees with the paper. I've always read it. I mean, I was one of the people who read this as you had to remeasure. Yeah. So when the question came up, it kind of forced me to go back and relook at it. And I guess the reason I'd probably also drawn that conclusion is IFRS 3 kind of requires us to do that. And the way I've always seen this is we're looking at IFRS 3 as our principle. You know, for want of a better word, when I'm looking at these type of transactions, IFRS 3 is our, I hate to use a de facto framework for when we're looking at these type of transactions. Now, IFRS 3 says when you've got a previously held interest, you revalue when there's something that changes within that. Now, I know there had been a comment in para 35 odd that said, you know, we think the change that occurs here is not as significant as a change to control. Yeah, I'm not convinced. I mean, that's a very, very dependent on the transaction, you know. For me, a change in joint control could be incredibly significant in my accounts, whereas taking control of an immaterial subsidiary could be very immaterial. So, you know, I don't think we can draw the conclusion that the significance is that. I'm saying, so I've always looked at this as an IFRS 3 principle, and I guess I'm saying if we're going to say that you don't have to do it, then I think we are departing from the principles in IFRS 3, and yeah, I wouldn't want divergence because I think we've got the same. To me, it's pretty much similar, same economics that are happening. Maybe I'll leave it on the first one to see what everybody else thinks.
Andrew?
I agree that there's certainly potential for diversity on this issue, so some form of standard setting action, I think, is appropriate, and I don't find IFRS 11 particularly clear on the point right now, so that was all very nice so far. I would probably prefer to see a wider project on this. Just last week I had two consultations on different types of change of status where there's no specific guidance in IFRS, and conceptually I think we seem to be introducing a lot of different concepts in terms of what might drive remeasurement and what might not drive remeasurement. Is it the change of status? Is it the change of accounting method? In the case of a joint operation, you might keep the same accounting method while still changing status. Is it whether or not the investee contains a business? We've got this sort of mix of principles, and we almost need a matrix of the different types of change of status and the different potential drivers of remeasurement or non-remeasurement to take a properly holistic view at the whole thing. That might, of course, be straight back into the agenda consultation, but there you go.
So you can do a matrix first, then? You can do a matrix.
I think Keanu Reeves.
John, and then Kaz.
I mean, I agree with the analysis in this paper on the fact pattern, and I do think the specific fact pattern where you go from being a participant in a joint operation to being a joint operator probably isn't that common. But I think it just points out a whole lot of other issues, as Andrew said, about when to remeasure and not remeasure, and moving between different stages, and also going the other way when you might lose control and end up with a joint operation. So I do think that my answer to question three is yes, I definitely think the project should be expanded to cover those broader array of issues, but I agree with the analysis on this particular fact pattern. I would not remeasure.
Kaz?
Yes, I also agree with the staff analysis. We shouldn't remeasure in this fact pattern, and we actually amend the 21A to clarify that change of the joint operation to get the control. So we make sure that the remeasurement needs to happen. And then in this case, we shouldn't remeasure. But I agree with others that we should expand a little bit further for the different fact patterns to joint operations to subsidiary. Maybe some standards are not clear enough, and I saw some clarification of our literature, but I think we should carry out more patterns from which to which, and then remeasure or do not remeasure.
Let me ask a question about that, because a couple of people have mentioned it now, but we want to broaden it some. What would the objective of broadening it be? Would it be to define that this is the point at which you fall off the cliff. And therefore, this is the point at which remeasurement becomes mandatory. And up to that, you get some sort of step acquisition accounting, I guess. Is that the objective, or is there something else going on there? I'm not, Andrew, you were the first one to bring it up, so.
Well, I think the first step should simply be to get an inventory, a list of the different sorts of change of status event, and identify which ones we have guidance in the standards on and which ones we don't, to get some. So I feel that what we're going to get is a succession of queries over time, addressing all the ones that we haven't addressed proactively.
So is that population those that are within the ambit of IFRS 11, or is it all things that constitute a business?
I'd prefer, at least in asking the question, to look more broadly.
So it's anything that constitutes a business.
I mean, if we're going into outright control, I think we've got clear guidance.
Yeah.
I think we've got guidance going from IAS 28 to IFRS 3. We don't always have guidance going from joint operation to associate, for example, or vice versa, with a change of accounting method and a change of standard, for example.
Okay. Bob?
I think it's a very good question. I can see the confusion. I think the principles are unclear. You know, I can read part of some standards to indicate that the change should be based on the nature, the trigger seeming to be control. I read IFRS 3 that way. I read IFRS 11, paragraph 40, in the basis for conclusion, 45 capital M, that way. But then again, I can read into the literature the principles that no, the change should be based on a change in accounting, a remeasurement should be based on a change in accounting method. And
there, joined the conference.
I look at, you know, if I go from an associate to a joint venture, there I do not remeasure. And it seems to be because I didn't change my accounting method. So I think it's a really good question. I think we need to take this on and add some clarity to it. My own personal view would be I would be where the staff analyzed it. I think, you know, if we decided that going from some influence to having joint control was not significant enough to have a change in accounting method, then I would think that it would not be appropriate then to remeasure.
Tony?
Very similar thoughts, and I was comfortable with where the staff got to on this specific issue. I think if we are going to have a broader project, then I think it needs to be based, I think, on driving out the principles that determine what happens when you go up and down. There was one thing that I guess I wondered about when I read the paper. There was a question about what do you do when you go from joint control to control. And I thought, well, if you go from not controlling something that's a business to controlling something that's a business, my initial reaction is we have a standard that deals with that, and it's quite big. Similarly, if you go from controlling something to not controlling it, I think IFRS 10 tells you what to do. So I was just a bit worried that we might try and answer a question that to which there is a clear answer. If the question is we're looking at sort of moving up and down between significant influence and joint control, or joint control and even jointer control, or whatever it is, then as long as it's restricted to trying to drive a principle out of that, I don't think I'd object.
I think just on that point, yes, so I would agree with you. It prima facie would seem like IFRS 3 would provide guidance on that, but some respondents pointed out that despite that, there's still diversity in views that continue to exist on that when you go from joint control to control, and vice versa when you go from control to joint control. So they and that issue actually came up with to the committee a couple of times before as well, and when the whole slate of IFRS 11 issues were discussed last, that was not identified as a priority issue, and the other issues were dealt with, but that has come up in the past as well. So there is some diversity existing, and hence people have suggested we try and address that at the same time. So,
Ali, board member privilege.
Yeah, thank you. I think in continuation of Andrew's, Tony's, and Bob's, I think that exploring some variations around the fact pattern might be very helpful to understand where we have guidance on it. For instance, instead of having an interest in a joint operation, assume the joint arrangement is a joint venture. So you have an interest in a joint venture, and you acquire further interest, and you get into the joint control of that joint venture. Would the conclusion about remeasurement be the same or different? If so, why? Well, we find the guidance. Now, assume further variation. At the time you acquire the additional interest, you become in the joint control, you get into the joint control of that entity, but the status is changed so that it becomes a joint operation at that time. So it's no longer a joint venture, it becomes a joint operation. What do you do with that effect transaction in your financial statements? Do you change your measurement? And so I think all those variations, if we want to be do a helpful job in giving guidance, should be at least looked at. Right. And maybe pointing to where we have guidance, where we don't. Maybe is there a general principle that can help or cannot?
Sandy?
I guess my thoughts were consistent with Bruce and Andrew's. I think I made the exact same comment to Jawad yesterday about I need a chart that explains to me when I remeasure and when I don't remeasure, because I'm certain no user of financial statements understands what's going on in these. You know, I don't think a change in accounting method should change how you remeasure. I think for me, the economic event is a change in control. So because I now have more rights and I have more ability to do things with this rather than simply how accountants have chosen to present things. So I mean, for me, I think it's really challenging. We've had a series of questions over the 3 years I've been here. In looking at these, I can't articulate to a user of the financial statements what the rule is. I mean, I know what it is in IFRS 10, but when you start to get to IAS 28, I'd have to write it down and try to do it myself. I just think it's really confusing.
Reinhardt and then Martin.
While repeating the comments of others, I do agree with the staff analysis for this particular fact pattern. But I think, as John said, we at least haven't run across many situations where somebody has an interest, accounts for their share of the assets and liabilities, and then goes to joint control. More frequent examples are where someone has an interest in the net assets, so equity accounting, and then goes to joint control. So I would be in favor of what others have said of expanding the remit in terms of what are the key criteria for determining when you remeasure versus not.
Yeah, our conversations this morning about IFRS 5 keep coming back and slapping me in the back of the head here. But, Martin?
With Philippe, that one should carefully consider, well, what are we talking about? We are talking about a joint operation. So is this joint operation based on facts and circumstances, a joint operation? So more or less it is a legal entity, or is it a joint operation because there are two parties that are bringing their assets together? And then the question is, what is the role of the third party? So imagine the third party has contributed, say, IP. So three parties have all IP, and the third party is becoming, joint control via contributing additional IP, not cash. Would it make a difference? So I guess one has to play with all the scenarios to see whether the overall concept then fits, because otherwise we are having a piecemeal approach here, which in the mining field of IFRS 11 is quite challenging, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. Sue, board member privilege, and then we've got two on the phone.
I was just going to note that we've got a number of open or not yet complete issues on IAS 28 that are under development or changed and subject to review and things at the moment that are relating to changes in ownership interests and whether things are businesses or not businesses and all sorts of unusual combinations. So I think we just need to be careful of not upsetting anything that's in progress there if we're going to do this bigger review of what's going on. And the other thing that sort of makes me vaguely nervous as well is our work that we're starting to do, I think I'm looking at Alan here, on equity accounting and what, you know, the meaning of that is and how it works and how that interacts with what we might be doing here, because we could end up with a lot of moving parts all at once, which sounds, it's already quite complicated in IS 28 because of all the stuff we've been doing, and I'd hate to recreate more.
Yeah, I think it seems to me somebody, I think Sandy said, the least important element is the accounting method. We're looking at, I think we said that the act of gaining control, in addition to being the thing that causes you to consolidate, was economically significant, and that was the thing that drove the remeasurement. I'm looking at Alan to nod yes. Alex, that okay, let's see. I'm going to go to the phone now, and then I'll circle back to Bruce. Bonnie, anything to add here?
Not anything that hasn't already been said. I do agree with the staff analysis for this particular fact pattern. I think some of the others had recommended, and maybe Philippe said this as well, to apply this concept to different fact patterns to make sure that it works across the board and it makes sense. So I would be in favor of doing that first before we move on.
Hey, Long?
I just coming back and not catch it. Yeah, but are you discussing the paper 8? And in general, I agree with the staff analysis. And one thing I have one concern is about the recording retrospective transition method, which will make the transition challenges and will be inconsistent with other recent standard settings.
Point taken. If we're going to expand the scope of this, though, that transition will be
okay
farther down the line. Okay. John and then Bruce, and I think we beat this one up pretty well.
Yeah, just one comment. I mean, I'm wary of what people have said about, you know, there's a whole lot of moving parts here and its interfaces with equity accounting project and other things. But it seems to me that two particular fact patterns would merit consideration. That's the acquisition of control over a joint operation and the loss of control that results in a joint operation. But I think to me, those two are two where you are crossing the control boundary, and there is clearly diversity in practice as to how people believe they should be accounted for under IFRS 10 and IFRS 3. And to me, you could quarantine those and deal with those without worrying about the moves between the additional interest in joint operations or between significant influence and joint control.
Bruce, last call.
Yeah, just the only comment I had is just thinking back to the experience we had on IFRS 5. We've been asked a specific question here. I mean, I think the comment that got to me was where the comment from the four accounting networks was, they all expect diversity in practice, and two of them believe that this is bad enough that people are now going to develop it in accounting. If we're going to start developing the Watchman matrix, as we now record, and start taking this to a bigger project, I think, you know, we've been asked a specific question, and I think that there clarity is needed on this. So whereas I accept there could be a bigger grand scale project on this, I just don't want us to lose sight that there's a question on the table at the moment. And if we say, well, we'll address it as part of a much bigger question, we've got to then accept that the message we're giving is that the diversity will continue and we're not going to do anything about that. And I, you know, I'm just conscious that there may be two stages to this. One, we do need to address this issue now. And two, we may need to pick it up again when this greater project happens. But I mean, my assumption is that's not going to happen in the short term.
Maybe I heard the things a little bit differently, but let me try this on. I heard a lot of people say, in this fact situation, I agree with the staff analysis. And then either spoken or unspoken was, but I'm not sure exactly how far I'm going to follow this character on this thing, you know, because 2 or 3 degrees over, no, I'm going to want to remeasure. And I think that was what people were focusing on. So it doesn't seem to me like this has to, I want to work till I'm 70. That's 5 years from now. This shouldn't take that long. So I see it as something that if we can't wrap it up quickly, we ought to revert.
But I think I agree, but I'm saying we just need to ensure we do try to wrap it up.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, like I was saying with the IFRS 5 stuff this morning, my worry is there were a couple of issues in there that I think we can resolve. Whereas we're, you know, and quickly. And I think just, I guess my only problem about this is when I read the paper and it talks about the diversity and the expected diversity and the fact that we've got disagreement. And interesting, it's the other way. I'd even read the stand differently. You know, a lot of people have looked at this and we know that there's a problem with it. I just want to, you know, I accept that you don't want to do it to 110, but we do need to resolve it.
Yeah, no, so. I take your point and we will honor that point. Okay, so I think the direction of the staff is that you need to develop a watchman matrix. And let's see how complicated that looks.
Yeah. We will do that and present that.
I suspect we're going to find it isn't as complicated as maybe it seems, but
yeah.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
Okay?